Bryant, and what does it really mean?
Well, Bryant, whatever it takes means we'll do whatever it takes to keep our customers comfortable. Whether their furnace is going out in the middle of the night, we'll be there when they need us. We have people on call 24 hours a day, whatever it takes.
You really pride yourself in customer service.
We try as hard as we can. Can't say we never make a mistake, but we give it our best shot.
And how do people get a hold of you, Kerry, to say get the ball rolling?
We make it as easy as possible. You can get us at 325-3969 for Stevens Point area, 342-0911, or just visit us online, comfortair.biz.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small tech values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, it'll be mostly sunny, high at 48. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 10. Tonight, we'll have increasing clouds, low at 35. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. For Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy. We'll have a chance for showers and thunderstorms. Winds will be breezy, a little bit warmer at a high near 51. Tomorrow night, we'll continue with the chance of showers with a low at 48. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Thank you, Megan. Get ready for a rainy weekend. Sunny and 38 right now in Wausau, 41 in Marshfield, 39 in Point, and sunny skies and 40 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
And thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320, as well as the web at WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. You can find your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. And our topic for this morning, mutual funds and a strategy for handling mutual funds. With that, we welcome Pete Bryan. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, nice start to the basketball season for Bucky.
Yep. You know, Bo's got 7 of his 13 guys didn't play last year. A couple were hurt. One was hurt. One was redshirted, and 5 were playing in high school. And so to get off to this kind of start against the caliber competition, hopefully bodes well.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk today about mutual funds strategy. And sometimes people might think, what's a mutual fund? Why do I have to worry about a strategy with mutual funds? And that's the whole idea behind a mutual fund. I just invest my money and I let the professionals handle it.
Well, you know, I think part of that is the origin of why there are mutual funds is that the challenge of trying to pick individual stocks, especially in smaller amounts of money where you can't really get 20 stocks in your portfolio. And so consequently, you know, there's probably no more risky strategy than having your entire financial portfolio in 2 stocks or 1 stock or 3 stocks, although it might work pretty well for Bill Gates. But there's a certain irony there, you know, is that everyone preaches diversification, but some of the great wealth of the world was when everything was put on red. But anyway, you know, what you'll find is, and what we'd want to talk about a little bit, in Buena Vista, we have 3 different mutual fund strategies in an attempt to diversify among mutual funds in what their objectives are. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, you can be a fund with all small companies. You can be a fund with all large companies. You can be an international fund. You can be a domestic fund. And so over time, you know, different asset classes within the stock world, you know, there's a list, you know, and each year certain sectors perform 1 and all the way down the list to 12. And so having a strategy trying to be a little more across the board so that in that particular 1 year that the small caps are doing well, you have a percentage. And so much like in the individual stock world, you know, in a good portfolio, you'll have stocks. So we talked a little bit about the different sectors of the S&P 500 in the past. You'd have certain stocks in all those sectors, and then the ones you felt most comfortable, you'd be overweight in certain sectors. Well, it's the same concept here in mutual funds.
Okay, so let's begin with objectives. I guess we're talking about whether you want growth and income.
Right, and I think much like any project or any strategy or stuff, it all starts with the first decision being, what are we trying to achieve?
Okay.
Right? What is the goal? What is the objective? In this particular case, what is my comfort with volatility? There's not anyone this year who is worried about, oh my God, I lost money. In up years, the world is great and the world is rosy and, if I'd been in this, I'd made this much more. But in the 2000 to 2002 or the 1987 or 2008, when the world came to an end, those particular times are one of the ways to gauge what you're trying to do. And do you want to protect more on the downside? And so that you don't fall point for point. Or are you more apt to want to capture that everything you can on the upside? So, I mean, that's very fundamental, but, there's various factors that go into it. I mean, if you are 20, 30, 40, have a great job, don't really need the income, you should be, and the tendency is to be more growth-oriented.
Right.
Right. If you're 60 or 70, you want probably less volatility because of the fact that you don't want to get caught in a situation where the stock market goes down and you need money and you've got to sell at a depressed level. So, those are some of the variables, but your whole positioning of a mutual fund or a stock, individual stock portfolio has to start with, what type of investor am I? Am I growth? Am I income? Or am I kind of in between? And then that will be the starting block for decision making on what particular horses you're going to ride in the race.
And when you have that kind of a plan in place and you understand it, is that also a protector against making irrational moves when things go a little crazy?
Well, theoretically it is, because there's usually, if you're fairly well diversified, especially in a growth and income, is that the tendency when the markets drop just violently is that the income, the bond markets tend to be where that money goes. And so the bond markets would hold up and appreciate while your stock market goes down and things. So somewhat you get some protection provided.
Okay.
And this is the big statement, is that unfortunately the human emotion is what is one of the inefficiencies of the stock market, because the history has taught us that the retail investor tends to sell when the market's low and buy when the market's high. Which is obviously the opposite of how you accumulate wealth. But I often make this comparison because I think it's so relevant. Unfortunately for the average investor, every day and almost every minute of that day, if he so chose, he can figure out what the value of his portfolio is.
Okay.
And so that instant number just gives you a basis of where you are. As that number goes down, you get, you know, the reaction is, oh, my God, I got less today than yesterday, and vice versa. And, oh, my God, I went down 3% today. I need to save it. And so, you know, you get a point where the knots in your stomach are so that you go, I'm just getting out.
Okay.
And so whether you have a well-diversified portfolio or not, you still have to overcome the emotion of watching your portfolio go down. And what I try to use as a comparison is real estate.
Okay.
Well, can you imagine in 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, mm-hmm. if the value of your house was in the market, in the paper every day? And the reaction to that, because, you know, 4, 5, 6 was probably the peak.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, my house is worth this, and I'm feeling rich, and I'm going to buy a new car, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go on a trip. And 2.7 to 2.8, 2.9, mm-hmm. you know, in our particular area, I think you're starting to see some sales, but I don't think prices have appreciated greatly. I just think interest rates going down, it's still a buyer's market. But my point is, can you imagine how many houses would have been on the market if, you know, in places like where I was living in Santa Monica, you know, the house next to you was sold for $3.4 million, and, you know, all of a sudden you see in the paper yours at $2.7 million and $2.5 million, $2.2
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so, you know, the whole thing about real estate isn't so much that it's less vulnerable to price fluctuation as it is you don't really know. The value of your house, Carl, is that number you've got in the back of your head.
Right.
The reality is your house is worth what it sells for.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
there's
true.
A difference.
Yeah, there is. There is, because you see that in your property tax bill.
Yeah, fortunately, you know, that's kind of a give
or
and
just
take
went through
here
a reassessment.
Rapids, because when you look at the valuations of some of these houses and what the property tax bill is, do you really dare protest? Because, you know, the valuations of real estate here are so depressed versus the real world that, you know, be mm-hmm. careful what you wish for.
That's true. That's true. We got to take a quick break, but we're talking mutual funds strategy with Pete Bry from Buena Vista Investment Management. And again, your local professionals can be found at 715-422-0700. When we come back, we got to figure out where we're going to put our money, and we're going to talk to Pete about that. Allocations is the topic when Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management continues after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative invest solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Perched on the edge of your seat.
Goes back to throw. Four-man rush. Kirk looks, throws right side.
Blood pressure rising.
Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Fingernails chewed to bits.
With 8 seconds to play.
It's Football Saturday. Catch all of the action right here on the Badger Sports Network.
The Badgers take on Indiana. Broadcast time Saturday morning at 11.
This is Matt LaFay. Catch all the Badger games right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, it'll be mostly sunny, high at 48. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 10. Tonight, we'll have increasing clouds, low at 35. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. For Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy. We'll have a chance for showers and thunderstorms. Winds will be breezy, a little bit warmer at a high near 51. Tomorrow night, we'll continue the chance of showers with a low at 48. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Megan Moulton.
You heard correctly, gang. She did say thunderstorms, and that is a possibility tomorrow. right now, sunny and 40 at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Mutual funds strategy is the topic for our discussion this morning. Okay, Pete, let's go into allocations. What are we going to do with our money?
Yep, that's the major question. You know, most studies done on the how do you make money is that, give or take, depending on the study, 90% of your return is determined by your allocations, which means then 10% is basically determined by what you pick within those allocations, what funds, you know, some are better, perform better than others, et cetera, et cetera. So, you've now, you know, step one, what's my big objective? You know, I'm trying to grow it. So then it gets into subcategories, and so for a long, long time in American investing, no one even thought about international investing. Heaven forbid, we're the best, greatest, most productive country in the world. Why would you want to be anywhere else? Well, you know, if you look at any particular history charts, it shows that at one point the United States was 70% of the world markets. It's now under 50%. So by not having some allocations internationally, you're missing out on potential marketplaces across the, you know, if you had been in the emerging markets from 2003 to 2008, it was the best particular group of any of them. So,
right.
So depending on, you know, what your comfort level is, you know, you start with a global versus a domestic. How much do I want in each, or am I all one or the other? All
okay.
Right? So that's, you go there. Then there's two types of companies, and again, it gets blurred in the middle, but, you know, growth companies that have the ability to each year grow their revenues and grow their net income at maybe above average rates, all right?
Okay.
Those tend to be companies that you get the greatest potential appreciation. So the value companies are companies that are established, they grind it out each year, they give, you know, they have smaller percentage growth in their revenues and their net income, but they may pay you a dividend, they may pay buyback stock, they may do things. And so a lot of times it's the tortoise and the hare question, you know, the growth being the hare and the tortoise the value that, you know, year after year after year. So do you want growth? Do you want value? Do you want some combination? And then from there, the final decision is what size companies do you want? Do you want all large companies, the IBMs and Googles and Apples and all the multi-billion type corporations? Do you want small companies, emerging companies, Tesla, Netflix, things that you and I hadn't even heard of X number of years ago, and now, you know, it's a wave of the future. It's how, where things are going. These things are going to continue to be dynamic. Or do you want something called mid-cap companies, which is kind of an interesting sweet spot, and one of the things we really emphasize at Buena Vista is the mid-cap sector, because mid-caps tend to be companies who have established. They probably have multiple products in their portfolio. They're not Walmart, so that if you're, you know, at Walmart at $300 billion in sales, to grow 10%, you got to do $30 billion more in sales. These companies maybe, you know, $100 million to grow 30%, it's $30 million. I mean, it's a big difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, they tend to have balance sheets. They tend to have history. They're companies that are being looked at by large cap to buy to enhance the large cap growth. They're companies that are looking at small cap companies to growth. And since 1978, it's been the best performing category of these three particular sectors of the market.
And which leads then, how much of a percentage should we allocate among all of this?
Yeah, then you have to go back to, in individual stocks, you know, 3 to 5% tend to be big positions. Because these are already diversified in here, mm-hmm. I mean, you could, if you decided to have a global portion and a domestic, you might have a growth companies in both of them, large cap, you know, you may have six investments, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, 15, 16, 17%. Because you're already allocated. So you tend to have larger percentages in these because within the fund itself, there might be 50 stocks, there might be 150 stocks.
Okay. Now, that leads into a topic here. I'm not familiar what you're talking about. Screens.
All right. Well, it's like anything. I mean, you could pick whatever mutual fund you wanted by looking in the paper, but you wouldn't have a knowledge base. It's,
right.
And so...
Okay.
What when you do these things, and what some of the things we look at is Morningstar is one of the best in analyzing mutual funds.
Okay, I'm familiar.
Yes, and so in their analysis, they have do all the statistical work and things. So and again, this is a style, preference, comfort level type of decisions, but. Some of the components you look for is there's a term called alpha. And alpha is a number which shows you how much the portfolio manager adds to the portfolio versus just being in the index. So if you're in a large cap company portfolio, the S&P would probably be your index. So if over 10 years this thing did 1 or 2 or 3% better than the S&P, they're adding alpha. They're okay. Adding return to the portfolio.
Right.
All right. Then you want to look, you know, we look at beta. Beta is a measure of change. And so what is the history of the volatility of these particular fund? If you're looking for wanting to capture all the upside and be dynamic, a larger number in beta is a good number, all right?
Right.
And so when you start looking at this, one of the things we've adapted is Morningstar does a number called the upside-downside capture. And what it is a performance over the X number of years, 3 year, 5 year, what, you know, and it shows how much of the upside that the market captured, this particular fund captured in good markets.
Okay.
And how much it went down in down markets. So, you know, again, if you're more defensive, you may get a fund that's 100 to 105 so that it pretty much captures the upside.
Right.
Doesn't really capture a lot, but, you know, one of our funds are 105. 80. So on the downside, for every dollar the market goes down, you're only going down 80 cents.
Okay.
So you're protecting yourself. You're not going to get beat up quite as bad, and it makes it a little easier to hold your portfolio. So depending on, again, how aggressive you are, you know, there's growth, there's upsides, and we've got an upside where they capture about 140% of the upside,
okay.
But they also capture 110% of the downside. So you're going to greatly outperform, but in bad markets, you're going to underperform. And can you handle that type of portfolio volatility? And so then it kind of goes down to, in mutual funds, you really shouldn't trade them. You should buy them and let them go through at least a market up cycle, down cycle to see how they perform. But, you know, we don't consider any fund that hasn't been in existence for 5 years.
Okay.
Because what happens is, in a 1 year, lots of dynamics can happen. You can have a big position, and that company gets bought out. You get a big position in a Netflix or a Tesla this year. Oh, my God, you know, they're up 300%.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, and so they did good. But can they stand the ultimate test, which is the test of time? So, you know, we recommend, and I think investors should, what has these funds done over 5 years and 10 years?
So you're looking at past performance. Or
yeah, and 5-year, 10-year-ish rather than 1-year-ish.
Right.
Because, again, we go back to the emotional chase of returns. You know, a fund performs, and they made 70% this year, all right?
Right.
Well, likelihood is they're going to do 70% again next year. And so, but that's where people crowd into. All of a sudden, the manager's got more money, he knows what to do with, and performance skews and things. So, anyway, so, you know, those are some of the major screens that we look at. We also look at the portfolio manager, the style, if there's been change.
Okay.
Because it's like any management change. Not everyone's created equal. And so, you know, just because a guy changed doesn't mean the guy coming in is
better
than he is, may not be as experienced as he was. And so we kind of, when that happens, we don't necessarily sell upon it, but we kind of start tracking a little closer to see if things have changed in terms of stock selection and what they do.
Okay, and then we get into our final two major items in terms of a mutual fund strategy. That is something we've talked about earlier, a buy-sell discipline, and obviously tax consequences.
Yeah, and the buy-to-sell discipline is a little more mundane than in the stock side of it, but, you know, on the buy side, I mean, obviously at this point in the market being up as aggressively as it has, if a person was going to put in new money, a buy discipline might be the dollar cost average. In other words, instead of putting it all in at once, is that you work it in gradually over, you know, the next 12 months or next 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one buy strategy. The other buy strategy is if you really become a student, you really know who the good managers are. And like good athletes, sometimes they have slumps.
Right.
And they've been in the wrong position, whatever. But, you know, you don't, this is one of the businesses as you get older, you certainly don't get dumber.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you have some that you follow and they have a particular off year, they might have misguessed the market, they might have a lot of cash, buying them and when they're underperforming tends to be a particularly good strategy. On the sell side, the major thing on the sell side is to watch what goes on with the portfolios. And when the portfolio manager, like this year, I'm sure there's portfolios that have underperformed the S&P.
Okay.
And now we're at the end of the year. And kind of some of the things happening right now is that guys in mutual funds can't show that they're 20% in cash and that they've missed this market. So they're buying. And so are they buying companies that are in the same type of style, the same type of discipline that you bought the fund? Or is it a growth fund that it is now buying value stocks or a value stocks that buy growth, which
okay.
is what happened in 1999 when the market was racing to the moon and all of a sudden value mutual funds had, you know, things selling at 500 times earnings and no earnings or, you know, things like that. So anyway, so those are just a few tidbits. Let me just, here's the other thing that in general I try to do, Buena tries to do in general, but the one tax situation on mutual funds, you get diversification, you get a lot of those things, but what you don't have is any ability to generate any kind of plan on taxes. So right now we're in the season where mutual funds are required to make distributions.
Right.
Well, with a 25% up year and with a market that is up almost 160% since March of 2009, as they pass on those distributions, you're liable for the taxes. And so if you put them in 401ks, you put them in IRA rollovers, you put them in any kind of tax-protected plan, you don't pay any of the tax. So all that money stays there. You don't have to worry about where am I getting a check to pay for these taxes I never thought about, type of thing. And so, and the other thing is be careful if you're buying mutual funds right now outside a retirement account, because you could buy the fund, get the distribution, not have the luxury of having the increase in your portfolio, and then you have to pay the tax. That's the worst.
Okay. We've learned a lot. There is a strategy to mutual funds, and I appreciate your time this morning, Professor. And we'll all enjoy breakfast with the Badgers tomorrow.
We certainly will, you know, just so people understand.